The hymnologist in hymn number 288 asks a series of those questions. Were you there? Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him on the tree? It is a hymn, but it's actually a good questions, a series of questions that we all must reflect upon as we celebrate this moment together. Because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. He was willing to give up his life for you and for me. So the questions still remain. Were you there? Were you there when they pierced him in his side? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there? Some of you could easily say, I wasn't there. Perhaps I wasn't even born yet. But we can all agree, he died for the sins of the whole world. Past sins, present sins, future sins. He gave up his life for you and for me on the cross. Jesus nailed it. Jesus nailed it on the cross in order that we might have a right to the tree of life. The cross was a symbol for criminals, a public display. Dietrich Bonhoeffer loves to say it was really their form of execution, the electric chair, that they would place our Lord and Savior on a cross for sins, for crimes that he didn't even commit. There was no story beyond the cross until Jesus was placed on the cross. Everyone else's story ended at the cross. But read carefully. It reminds us that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's rugged cross. If you have your Bibles, let me call your attention to the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter and the 30th verse. And there you'll read three words by Jesus. Many theologians remind us that these are the last words Jesus uttered from the cross and on the earth before his resurrection. If you have a King James translation or the New King James translation, the words of Jesus are recorded or printed in red. You'll see those three words, it is finished. Telestai. Telestai is the Greek word for it is finished. It is completed. It is final. I said to that contemporary crowd that was here at the last service, as they have a lot of seniors, those who are in high school, those who are in college, those who are graduating from master's degree programs, they can't wait for the month of May. Why? Telestai. It is finished. I even said to those who were here from the school system, especially those kids, as they're looking to go to summer camp, they're all excited and you're getting ready for summer, telestai. But then we had a house full of administrators and teachers and workers. They too are happy and can say telestai. It is finished. To God be the glory. When was the last time you finished a project or finished something that you set out long time ago and you were able to say it is finished? At the last service, we had six young people who had gone through the long courses and weeks. As they were going through confirmation, and today they graduated, telestai, it is finished. But look at Jesus. He's on a cross. And he's saying, it is finished. The plan of God's salvation, it is completed. He is willing to give up his life for the sins of the whole world. You keep reading in the Gospel according to John. And in the Gospel according to John, John is sharing now in the 20th chapter. And he's talking about the women who came to the tomb and could not find Jesus' body. And it was an angel there who said, he is not here. He has risen. Praise be to God. Just like he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Immediately, Mary goes out. She finds Peter. They come in to investigate. And they, too, are astonished that Jesus is no longer in that borrowed tomb. He is alive. But John continues. If you have your Bibles, look at the 20th verse of the 20th chapter, and you'll see that the doors were closed and Jesus appeared. All of the disciples were there except one. You know who that disciple was? Thomas. I heard someone in the choir said, Doubting Thomas. In fact, that's how we call him. It's a nickname. It's a way of coming and saying, don't be a Doubting Thomas. But in Aramaic, his name means twin. And then he has a Greek name, Didymus, and that name means twin as well. And if you have your Bibles, it refers to Thomas, who is also called twin. He was not present. He was not there. Can you imagine not being present on an Easter Sunday morning and the Lord shows up? Thomas missed that moment, that grand moment. What is so special anyway about Easter? I'm glad you asked. Let me help you fill in the blank. Easter is special because of what it represents historically, biblically, spiritually, and personally. It's special. Historically, it's a fact. Biblically, we know it's God's word and how God breathes and shares his word with the world. Spiritually, it is by the Spirit that we live, we move, and we have our being, but it's also personal. I know Jesus Christ for myself. He's my personal Savior. Thomas missed the moment when the Lord appeared before the disciples. He was not present. Now, mind you, the Bible does not give us a long discourse of the explanation why Thomas was present. We do know that Thomas' name is recorded 12 times in the Bible. Once in the Gospel according to Mark, once in the Gospel according to Luke, and even in Matthew, only one time. And that's because they all share the list of the disciples. But in John's Gospel, he has 8 verses, 8 citations, if you will. And then lastly, in Acts of the Apostles, read chapter 1, verse 3. So we don't have an explanation of why Thomas was absent. We don't know the excuse that Thomas could have used, that he could have hoped that Jesus or the disciples would have bought his excuses. And some people live their lives with nothing more but excuses. Our staff, every Tuesday when we meet, there's a poem that we have learned from an unknown writer called Excuses. And it goes like this. Excuses are tools of the incompetent. They build monuments of nothingness. And those who specialize in using them never accomplish anything but excuses. I don't know Thomas' excuse. I don't know what he would have shared with the boys. I don't know what he would have shared with Jesus. But he wasn't present. But if you continue to read the text, you'll see how God's grace abides. Jesus leaves the room. The Bible says, Later on, Jesus appears, and guess who's present? Thomas. Thomas. And Jesus points him out. He says, Thomas, come. Put your fingers in my hand and touch the nail prints. Touch my side. And it's Thomas who says to the Lord, my God. Thomas believed at that moment. He was so inspired. But if you keep reading, you'll see how Jesus gives us a second chance. He affirms Thomas. He doesn't condemn him. But then he adds a verse there, right there, if you notice in the 24th verse, and he relates that to you and me and to those who are not even born yet. He said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen and you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. I've never seen Jesus, but I believe. I believe Jesus Christ lived and walked upon the earth, and Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary's rugged cross. But early the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. I believe because he rose in my soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. It reminds me of a little boy. His name was Cameron. Perhaps you read his story. His memorial service was yesterday, right here in this church, in this sanctuary of praise. It was standing room only. You don't want to know why Jesus chose the nails? It was because of a young boy like Cameron, and like you and me as well, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Now, Cameron was born on April the 18th, 2007. Tuesday, this coming, two more days, is April the what? 18th. Cameron died at age 9. On April the 6th, 2017. But Cameron touched lives. Firefighter units were here, as well as police officers from New Smyrna all the way here to Palm Coast because of this young boy and how he touched the lives of people with his life. Each and every moment we have is precious. And we ought to make a difference in the lives of others. It reminds me of a true story about a young boy by the name of Philip. Philip was 14 years old, but he was in a classroom with other students, but they were 8-year-olds. His parents wanted him to learn and to be with those students and to share. But those students picked on him. They laughed at him. He looked like an adult compared to them. But one day, Philip made a difference. The teacher had given each and every student an egg. Told those students to go out and find something that represents Easter, about the Easter story that you can share with the class, show and tell. Students brought their eggs, and all of them had different items in their eggs. Some had a cross, some had a rock, some had even flowers. But when it came to Philip, Philip had nothing in his egg. And Philip shared with the class, Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And if you need just two words to hang your hat on this morning, it's these words. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus Christ is not in the grave, but he is alive forevermore. And that's good news, because the hymnologist says it this way: I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. No matter what men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just when I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. He lives. Glory be to God. He lives. Won't you?